Lift him up, August 7. Christ died for us. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. The cross of Calvary appeals to us in power, affording a reason why we should love our Savior, and why we should make him first and last and best in everything. We should take our fitting place in humble penitence at the foot of the cross. Here, as we see our Savior in agony, the Son of God dying, the just for the unjust, we may learn lessons of meekness and lowliness of mind. Behold him who with one word could summon legions of angels to his assistance, a subject of jest and merriment, of reviling and hatred. He gives himself a sacrifice for sin. When reviled, he threatens not. When falsely accused, he opens not his mouth. He prays on the cross for his murderers. He is dying for them. He is paying an infinite price for every one of them. He bears the penalty of man's sins without a murmur. And this uncomplaining victim is the Son of God. His throne is from everlasting, and his kingdom shall have no end. Come, you who are seeking your own pleasure in forbidden joys and sinful indulgences, you who are scattering from Christ, look upon the cross of Calvary. Behold the royal victim suffering on your account, and while you have opportunity, be wise, and seek the fountain of life and true happiness. Come, you who complain and murmur at the little inconveniences and the few trials you must meet in this life. Look on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. He turned from his royal throne, his high command, and, laying aside his divinity, clothed himself with humanity. For our sakes he was rejected and despised. He became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich. Can you, beholding by the eye of faith the sufferings of Christ, tell your trials, your tale of woe? Can you nurse revenge in your heart while you remember the prayer that came from the pale and quivering lips of Christ for his revilers, his murderers? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. There is a work before us to subdue the pride and vanity that seek a place in our hearts, and through penitence and faith to bring ourselves into familiar and holy converse with Christ. We must deny self and fight continually against pride. We must hide self in Jesus and let him appear in our character and conversation. While we look constantly to him whom our sins have pierced and our sorrows have burdened, we shall acquire strength to be like him. Our lives, our deportment, will testify how highly we prize our Redeemer and the salvation he has wrought out for us at such a cost to himself. And our peace will be as a river while we bind ourselves in willing, happy captivity to Jesus.